It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Scares you more than the Niners
right now?
Like, I love Hutchinson, but they need other players opposite him.
No, the NFC is a little...
It's a little light,
but I'm trying to win a Super Bowl.
No, you got to get through the NFC first.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I mean, but when you lose Aaron Donald, and by the way, I don't know if you've been paying attention, it sounds like Aaron Donald could come back to the Rams during the season.
Would it surprise you? No. I just watched him run a 40-yard dash against Shady McCoy. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. And he smoked
Shady McCoy.
Yeah, Shady's a little out of shape.
Yeah, but so what? This is a defensive tackle. You see how quick he was?
I ran into Shady in Philly at Planet Hollywood the day the Niners played the Eagles. Shady's enjoying life. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, well, we know that. I mean, he's doing
but Aaron Donald beating him in a race does not surprise me. Aaron Donald's a freak.
Aaron Donald looked like he was still in shape.
Yeah, well, he's ready to go.
So, it doesn't. I don't believe he's going to. I never believed that he's going to stay retired. Sean McVay has him on the hotline saying, hey, look, November, we're going to be in it. We're going to have a chance. Come back.
Your point is well taken regarding defensive ends and just defensive line in general. But I would ask, Philly losing Haason Reddick is a big blow.
It's a big blow.
All right?
It's a big blow.
I still think they have a decent front, but not what the Niners is. I love Hutchinson, but they don't really have a true guy opposite him currently. Maybe during the season, I look at it different. Green Bay? Can anyone name the defensive line for Green Bay? You know, these are the threats to the Niners.
Rashawn Gary. What? Rashawn Gary's legit.
Rashawn Gary's nice. He ain't a Bosa.
No.
He ain't even close to Bosa.
Preston Smith is good. They got some depth there.
But it's not a like for like. You know what I'm saying? It's if the Niners somehow, some way suffer an injury on this defensive line,
well, that's
now you're going to be involved in all these damn shootouts. I want to win some games comfortable.
I think their defense will be really good.
I think the defense will be good. I'm just saying D-line depth could be a problem. What if Bosa doesn't get off to a hot start? Now, everybody's telling me that Bosa looks great right now.
Well, no.
But it's hard for me to tell if Bosa's going to be great when you're going against Jalen Moore every damn day.
If you were asking me who's the guy who has to have a career year for the Niners to be really good this year,
right. Nick Bosa,
to me, it's
right?
Nick Bosa.
Right?
If Nick Bosa's back to DPOY Nick Bosa, that changes everything for this defense.
It does change everything. It takes this defense from a fringe top 10 defense to bona fide top 5 defense. And all of a sudden, you get to the AFC teams and saying, oh, we got Bosa, we got this guy. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Our clocks are all off right now. It says 12:41:48. It's just stuck on 12:41:48 a.m. What happened? What happened? What was that?
What the hell was that? That's Thomas the Train.
That's you.
No, but what was that reference to?
It's one of the many weird noises we make on the show.
Hey, love, man, I don't want to hear from you right now.
What's that? I can't hear you over 0-2.
Y'all win one game against sorry-ass Florida, you think you're back. Billy Napier.
Better than losing to sorry-ass Boston College. Well,
hey, they might beat you. Be careful. Be careful, Miami. Let's go to Nick and Berkeley.
DJ Uiagalelei transferring or something? What's going on?
We'll get Nick on the other side. All right, we'll break. This guy's going to be insufferable.
The college football scene is better when the U is back.
I'm not going to lie.
Let's slow our roll on that one.
When Cam Ward threw that touchdown pass to make it 38-10, and the two receivers looked at the slot, and they went like this.
It was great.
I said, damn it. And then, you know, it was a true story. Later on that night in the Philadelphia hotel, the 30 for 30 was on with the U, and I started watching it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, damn.
Life is better when the U's good. Like, as much as I, you know, make fun of USC, it's better when USC's good.
It is. You're right.
The premium schools to be good again.
It is sad, but it's true.
How about that Tennessee quarterback?
They got a big game this week against North Carolina State. We'll see about them.
LSU. I wanted to go. LSU. Receivers every year.
Every year.
Most talented receivers I've ever seen.
Lacey. Dude.
Are you kidding
still
me?
Lose number game? Two? Yeah, number two was sick.
Oh, my God.
And they didn't even score the opening drive.
I couldn't believe it.
USC, though. They're back. Fight on, baby. Fight on. Fight on. Big Dog City was at that game. I couldn't get enough of that game. I was watching it on the plane on the way back to the city. All right. Nick and Berkeley, 888-957-9570.
Niners.
We got some Shanahan sound that you cannot miss. Wait till you hear from Peter Schrager on NFL Network on Kyle Shanahan, and we'll see if anybody agrees with what he had to say about Kyle Shanahan. That's coming up, brought to you by Safeway.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasta, 95.7 The Game.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to Baldy. He put out a video showcasing Brandon Ayuk in the Super Bowl. For all the people who say, well, he doesn't get double-teamed. Look different in the Super Bowl. He got double-teamed a lot in the Super Bowl. Baldy's breakdowns, folks. Ayuk's back. Trent Williams is back. He just got back today off the private jet with his Mastiff. He's ready to roll. He's going to sign a new deal. Christian McCaffrey's back on the practice field. Folks, the offseason's over. All the drama, all the exhaustion, all the contract talk, it's done. We're focused on the J-E-T-S, Jets. And I'm getting flashbacks of Garrison Hurst, and the overtime touchdown run against the New York Jets and Glenn Foley and Bill Parcells and Keyshawn Johnson and Wayne Corbett. The Jets are in trouble.
R-E-L-A-X.
No, I'm not going to relax. Yeah,
so can I ask you a couple quick questions about the Jets?
Sure.
How many playoff games in the history of the Jets
have they won?
Just in general, how many have they played?
The history of the New York Jets? I don't know the answer to that. I'm guessing they played a lot of playoff games.
Surprisingly, 25.
That's it?
No. 25.
In their history? 25 playoff games?
Yep.
That's it?
I went down the deep dive. Yep.
25, wait. 25 playoff? That's.
I have them all right here. 2010, 29, 2006, 2004, 2002, 2001, 98, 91, 86, 85, 82, 81, 69, and the Super Bowl in 68.
Wait, 69 to what? They didn't make the playoffs from 69 to...
69 to 81.
So they missed the playoffs in the entire 70s. They didn't go to one playoff game in the 70s?
Nope.
That is unbelievable.
Longest drought of playoffs in all of sports in North America.
Right now?
Yes.
Ooh. Rockies?
It is the New York Jets.
Really?
The New York Jets, 13 seasons, have the current active longest playoff drought in all of sports in North America.
Holy smokes. I can't get over the fact they didn't go to the playoffs one time in the 70s.
They've been to five conference games, okay, in the AFC.
Conference title games.
What?
Conference title games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost to the Colts one year. They lost to the Steelers one year. They lost to the Broncos one year. They lost to the Dolphins maybe one year.
Can you name in their final playoff game in 2010, their last one, can you name anyone of the skill position players to touch the ball for the Jets? We know Sanchez was the quarterback. I've got the list here. You will never get...
Sean Green.
Sean Green was the leading
back. Sean Green was the running back. Yep. Come on now.
With LaDainian Tomlinson back in... Well, yep. Essentially in and back out of the lineup.
Braylon Edwards.
Braylon Edwards was on the roster.
Yep. There was a guy from... There's another guy.
A first-round pick was their top receiver in the last AFC Championship game, their final playoff game since 2010.
Santonio Holmes?
He was on the roster, but not the number one receiving target that game. Dustin Keller from Purdue, the tight end.
Dustin Keller.
No one would have ever gotten that.
He was a good tight end.
Jericho Cotchery, Brad Smith, Braylon Edwards, Dustin Keller.
Yeah. Made some Jets on that.
And Santonio Holmes. And then... One more. So they've got 25 games in the history of the Jets.
That's crazy.
25
games. I can't believe that.
Was it Plaxico on that team?
What?
Was it Plaxico on that team?
No, he was not.
No, I feel like he was on the
He didn't play
Giants
in that game.
Oh, he didn't play in that game.
He
was definitely on the team that year.
How many playoff games for the Niners since Harbaugh? since Harbaugh was here.
It probably had 25.
20.
20, yeah.
So just to tell you how inept the Jets are, since 1968, they've had 25 games in the playoffs.
I can't believe that.
The Niners, since Harbaugh, have had 20.
Wow.
So all you people, look, I'm not saying that you are going to be the Jets, but let's also have a little perspective on how phenomenally run the Niners have been for the last 15 years.
I just can't believe the Jets didn't make not one playoff game in the 70s. They had Joe Klecklo. They had the sack exchange in the 80s. They're going to have a 30-for-30 on them, by the way, coming up soon. And they were really good. But then, now that I think about it, NFL films always shows the game when they lost to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And they choked the game against the Cleveland Browns at old Cleveland Municipal Stadium with Marty Schottenheimer as a coach.
So, can you name any of the defensive players on that 2010 Jets last playoff team?
Bart Scott.
He was on there?
He was on there. Vernon Golston.
Mm-hmm.
They had a D tackle. Sheldon Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
You're forgetting
a Hall of Fame outside linebacker, D end.
Jason Taylor played for the Jets?
Yes. With Darrell Revis.
Did he really?
With Darrell Revis.
Is Shaw Ferguson there?
Cromartie.
Probably. Antonio Cromartie was definitely there.
How crazy. Think of that. Again, Niner fans, like, I know we've been frustrated. I get it. Like, we haven't won the big one. You could be the Jets.
You could be the Jets.
And I'm looking at their team this year. By the way, just for comparison's sake, they've been to 5 AFC Championship games. They're 1-4.
Yeah.
The Niners have been to 19 NFC Championship games. Now, I know nobody's going to hang that banner, and I get it, but just be thankful that you're not the Jets. I'm looking at their roster this year, Bonte. Okay? And on defense, I wrote down some of their best players on D and on O.
Yeah.
On defense, Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, CJ Mosley, DJ Reed, X-Niner, Quincy Williams, Jermaine Johnson, Chuck Clark, Will McDonald, Ashton Davis, the safety from Cal. Hassan Reddick is sitting out right now, so I didn't put him on there.
I don't think he's going to play.
Then on offense.
And don't you're forgetting one guy. Javon Kinlaw. Mook Dog,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Mook Dog, baby.
Bring him
He's
up.
He's back to Levi's.
Offense.
He's
Aaron
Rodgers.
Tyron Smith. Mike Williams. Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall. Morgan Moses. And Tyler Conklin. On paper, this Jets team has a lot of talent.
The Jets will be solid.
They have a lot of talent.
But they're the Jets, right? They'll somehow, some way, find a way. I don't know. Maybe the franchise is cursed. Maybe curses do exist. Because on paper, this Breece Hall kid at running back is a home run hitter. He is a
play
threat.
With Brock.
He is a threat. He is good. They invested in their offensive line this past offseason. So the Jets, I expect them to come in with this defense. Their defense is really, really good. Baldy's going to break it down in just a second here at 7:30 in the morning on the morning roast. But their defense is really, really good. They could play man, and it'll be interesting to see what Salah does against his former team. Obviously, he knows Shanahan, but Shanahan knows him. How will they attack the New York Jets? That's what I want to know from Baldy. What's the best way to attack this defense, especially without Hassan Reddick playing the edge? But I think they'll be fine defensively. Leonard Taylor III, not bad. Will McDonald's, not bad. They've got some talent.
Well, Bonte,
Jets have some talent.
I just look at it this way. Like, I think the time to get them... It's going to be an early part of the season because I think there'll be a better team by mid to end of the year. That being said, there's a lot of unknowns. What do you even look for film? Like, I was going back. I'm like, well, no one played in the preseason on their offense. Well, and I look at last year's film. Like, they didn't have Mike Williams. Breece Hall was coming back from an ACL injury.
Yeah.
Like, they played 2 snaps with Aaron Rodgers.
4 snaps.
How do you even know?
And how ironic is it that Leonard Floyd was the guy to sack him, and that was the play he got hurt on? Leonard Floyd.
But how do you even know what to prepare for?
Well, you just look at old film about Aaron Rodgers. And I, to your point about catching him early, Aaron Rodgers will be rusty. He hasn't played an NFL game in 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's had the scrimmages or whatnot. And, you know, from what they say, Rodgers looks like Rodgers. We'll see. We'll see about that.
Well, his
that.
Arm has always been great.
You know, the arm talent's there.
And his mind is always
Wilson,
been
And Garrett
beautiful.
Wilson's one of the best wide receivers that nobody knows about yet. Even though he plays in New York City, Garrett Wilson is a stud.
Number
and
change.
What we know about Mike Williams, when he's healthy, he's one of the better deep threats in this league.
Absolutely.
He's physical, can high point the football. He's a problem. He's a matchup nightmare when he's healthy. So this is a Jets team that I expect to be, by the end of the year, I'm not going to say Super Bowl contender, but I expect them to be in the playoffs.
Well, if they made the playoffs, it would be a big deal.
For them.
Absolutely, it would. Well, I just think for the league. Like, look, I roll my eyes when I hear Greenberg and all the different New York Jets fans that are in the media talk about the Jets and the misery of being the Jets. But on some level, it is cool if the Jets can get into the playoffs.
I think the Giants are the bigger New York team.
Well, of course, no, of course they are. I'm just saying, like, I think it's good for sports when a bad team finally like gets into the playoffs. It was fun for the Kings to get into the playoffs.
No, you need a whipping boy. You need a whipping boy. The Jets are the NFL's whipping boy. It's better when they do suck because they're kind of like the AFC Dallas Cowboys. They're not the Dallas Cowboys in terms of like all the hype, and they always fail. But the Jets, for some reason, get all this hype and all this attention and all these headlines. And you just mentioned it. They've been in 25 playoff games. Why the hell are we talking about the Jets so much?
Well, if you think about it, from 01 to 09 was the most... like the most productive seasons they've ever had. Wild card in 2001, wild card to division round in 02, wild card to division round in 04, wild card, and then.
You went from Parcells to Herm Edwards to Rex Ryan.
They lost in 06. 09, AFC Championship game. 2010, AFC Championship game. Like, that's their most. From 01 to 2010 has been the most productive seasons they've ever had.
Yeah, it's sad. It is sad, but we'll ask Baldy in just a second. I want to play this before we get to Baldy and set this up. Preeter Schrager, NFL Network, hit the timeline yesterday. And we saw Shanahan with all the great Gatsby stuff and the house party Saturday night with Rick Ross. And he's got the hair and everything like that. And everybody's going crazy. Preeter Schrager says that Shanahan has the most riding on this season. Take a listen.
I look at this past weekend and Kyle Shanahan, they had a little party with Brandon Ayuk, with Deebo Samuel, with Rick Ross, the boss, and this is what Kyle wore to the party.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
Now, I have been texting with sources. It was actually a great Gatsby theme.
Is your source wearing number 17 in that picture?
It might have been Rick Ross, the boss. It was a great Gatsby theme.
That's Scott Fitzgerald.
And I think, you know, a guy who's got so much riding on this season as the head coach of the 49ers with contracts, everyone wants it. Purdy's got to get paid at some point. We've got to pay. You know, Talanoa Hufanga has to get paid. All you got. Kyle's coming in there, and he's grown the hair out. Mm-hmm. He bookended his summer with the McCaffrey wedding, where he was wilding out, and this amazing great Gatsby. This is me saying, hey, I've got the swag. My team's got the swag. You guys could poke holes in us all summer long. We good. Mm. In fact, we Gucci.
He Gucci.
I think Kyle Shanahan's got the most riding on this season. I also feel like he has no doubts that his team is ready to go. I'm going to say the head coach of the defending NFC champions, Kyle Shanahan's got the most on his shoulders, and he's got some hair rocking on it, too. He's growing out that hair, and I respect it, and he was rocking it like Gatsby on Friday night.
All right, that's Preeter Schrager, NFL Network. Does Shanahan have the most riding on this season? Hard to say. Coach has it. You got players on his team. Maybe it's Deebo. Maybe it's Kittle. Maybe it's Big Trent, who's back in the facility today. But in the meantime, before we get to Nick and Berkeley, hang on tight there. We got to get to Baldy here on the Morning Roast.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider. Brian Baldinger.
It's Shark Week, and we got action, baby. The Chiefs and Ravens on Thursday. The Eagles and Packers down to Brazil. They can't even leave their hotel rooms. You can't even tweet in Brazil. We're not going to know what's going on in Brazil unless we watch it on Peacock. But then we got the Niners and Jets, and you know what, Baldy? We got the full squad back together. We know about Brandon Ayuk, and I loved your breakdown from the Super Bowl. Brandon Ayuk doesn't get double teamed. Well, it looked like it from your film that you put out there on Baldy's breakdowns on your Twitter account at Baldy NFL. And now Big Trent's back from East Texas. He got on a private jet last night. I don't know if you saw the big old mastiff dog, but it doesn't surprise he's got this big old dog, all black, and he's ready to roll. The Niners are back together, Baldy. It's a good thing.
It is a good thing, and it's good for the league. Because I always think you need teams that everybody's gunning for. And 49ers, I mean, listen to, you know, Schrag's talk right there, you know, leading into me. But it is like they got a big bullseye on their back. Kyle understands, like, you know, they're all in. John Lynch, Jed, you know, Kyle, they're all in. You know, I never really had I knew Trent would be back. I had some doubts about Brandon. But, like, this is – they're loading up. They're loading up to make another run. And this is what you should do. You got a quarterback on a rookie contract. You got to load up. You got to be all in. You can't leave guys at home. You got to put them all on there. You get an extra day this week with Trent, you know, because of the game Monday night. It's going to seem like forever to get there. Once we start playing games on Thursday, Friday, Sunday, by the time you get to Monday night, there's only one game on Monday night. Everybody's watching. Everybody wants to see both these teams. They both, I mean, so, you know, Kyle has been in the championship game three times. He's been in the Super Bowl twice. We know what the record is in 40 with the 49ers. They are a great roster, but not all great rosters win Super Bowls. And that's what this challenge is all about.
Baldy, I think what they've built is pretty unique in the era of player movement, player empowerment, just the finances exploding to what they are. For them to keep Purdy, CMC, Ayuk, Debo, and Kittle with Big Trent all together on one side of the ball, this is going to be year three, essentially, with all those guys. It feels very rare in this particular era that we're in. Am I off on that?
You know what? It's interesting. No, you're not off, Joe, at all. In fact, you know, free agency started, a full-blown free agency started in 1993. And this feels like a roster from pre-1993. It used to be, when I was playing with the Cowboys in the 80s, I knew exactly who the Cowboys, well, I knew our roster every year, except for a couple rookies. I knew the Washington Redskins at that time, the Giants. We all knew. Okay, there's LT, there's Pepper Johnson. We knew that, you know, there's, you know, Dave Butts in Washington, whatever, Charles Manley. Like, we knew everybody's roster. I feel like anybody that's playing the 49ers, the Rams, Seattle, in the division, they know exactly who the 49ers are. And everybody watching Monday night knows who their roster is. They know Trent's over there. They know that they've got some of the highest paid players at positions. And they know those players are personified great players. So they prove it year in, year out. It is rare. It's very rare that they could keep that many great players on a roster.
Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Rush, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? All right, so who are the Jets, Baldy? We're just breaking down the Jets here. We don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to look like. We do love Breece Hall. We love Garrett Wilson. Mike Williams is back from the Chargers, of course. Now with the New York Jets, he's one of the best deep ball threats in this game, but he's never healthy. So who are the Jets, Baldy? Who are the New York Jets? What team are we going to see on Monday night?
Well, nobody better take Aaron Rodgers lightly because he played four plays last year. He's approaching 40. Nobody better do that. I've seen that team practice last year and this year as much as anybody out there. That guy, when you go out to watch him in practice, he doesn't look 40. His arm doesn't look like that. I saw Brett Favre late in his career, and the arm fell off. I saw Peyton Manning's arm fall off. Like, that's not the case. And I don't know if there's a smarter player or coach than Aaron Rodgers in his business. You better take Breece Hall might – he might push Christian McCaffrey for leading the league in rushing, yards, the whole thing this year. He has that kind of ability. The offensive line is as good as it's been since, you know, in over 10 years. Okay, it's the best it's been. And they've got depth. So this is a talented offense, but defensively, they've got great players at every position. Their two linebackers are as good as what, you know, when we saw San Francisco last year and what they have off the ball inside linebacker. They can rival what Fred and Dre were like with what they have. And this secondary has never played with the lead where the guys might get a chance to start. DJ Reed, who was former 49er, drafted by the 49ers, Sauce. Like, they've got everything in place to be a great defense. I think this is a very, very talented team. I picked him to win the AFC.
Wow.
So, you know, and win the AFC East. I'm sorry, Joe. But win the AFC East, I picked them. Like, I think this is going to be a very good team.
Wow. Wow. I mean, how do the Niners even prepare for this offense? Like, I went back last night. I'm thinking, like, all right, I'm going to watch some preseason games. But, like, nobody's playing in the preseason. And Aaron hasn't played in, like, 2 years. And it's – I know Nathaniel Hackett and him have some kind of connection. So how are the Niners defensively preparing for this particular offense when there isn't a lot of footage and, like, tape to draw from?
Joe, it always starts with the basics. Like, you got to stop the run. You got to stack and shed. You got to get off blocks. You can't let Breece Hall make these cuts into open daylight, just the way you can't do that to McCaffrey. That's where it always starts. It always starts with the fundamentals, playing with low pad level, being able to stack shed, all right, being able to get off blocks. It starts with the basics. And so that's what I'm sure that, you know, Coach Sorensen and that staff is doing on San Francisco right now. Like, that's where it starts. Aaron, look, he's going to have his quick sets. He's going to get you in your hockey shifts. If he sees 12 guys on the field, you're changing your defensive line on the fifth play of a drive. He's going to try and get a quick one on you. If he sees that you're not lined up quickly, he's going to quick snap it. He's going to take advantage. He's going to see every single advantage he can get. His eyes are amazing. He doesn't miss. And then this Garrett Wilson, like, they're going to move him all over the place. But when you watch him practice, like, it doesn't look like he's the fastest player on the field, but he is the fastest player on the field. Hmm. Like, his ability to go get a ball that looks like it's out of range, he just has another gear. And he can adjust as well as anybody in this business. It, you know, it's going to rival anything that the 49ers have seen from the Rams over the last 3 years in Cup and in Nakua.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Baldy here on the River Islands guest line on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. So how do you attack this defense here? You mentioned that if they do play with the lead, they can start getting their hands on footballs there with Sauce Gard.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And DJ Reed, Quinnen Williams down there in the middle. He was the same draft class with Nick Bosa. He went 3 overall. Of course, Bosa went 2 overall to the 49ers. What's the best way to attack this defense? Or are they just strong all across the board here, Baldy?
No, they're strong. They're strong, and they got speed. They got very veteran players everywhere on this defense. But, you know, look, the 49ers are built on running the football. I've broken this down many times, but they basically have 5 running plays. I'm sure Robert Saleh knows this run game as well as anybody. Heck, John Benton, he took him from San Francisco to coach his offensive line for 2 years, and now John's gone, and he's down in New Orleans now. But, you know, he knows this run game. He knows the stretch and the counter and the wind back. You know, there's no secret that this whole thing, play action pass, everything comes off of it. They know they want to attack the middle of the field. Those safeties from the Jets are going to get a chance to, you know, let those receivers from San Francisco feel their punch in the middle of the field. I think these teams are pretty familiar with one another, even though they haven't played much. But, you know, I would think that San Francisco, especially Trent back in there right now, you know, they want to get this running game going. When they lost games last year to Minnesota, Cincinnati, Baltimore, they didn't run the ball well. So, I mean, that's really still the key to their success. Nothing against Brock or anybody else, but, you know, this thing gets fueled off their running game.
How does CMC get himself up to speed with no preseason? You think he's going to be okay, or is there something they can do this week in practice, or is he just one of those unique thoroughbreds?
You know, Joe, I worked with LaDainian Tomlinson for a long time. I think he's as good a back as I've ever seen. I played with Dickerson and Dorsett, and respect for Emmett and Walter and everybody. But I remember 1 year, Marty Schottenheimer was coaching the Chargers, and he put LT out there, and he pitched it to him. That's back when touchback, you get the ball to 20. And on the first play, he pitched it to LT, and he went 80 yards for a touchdown. And like LT, he laid the ball on the ground in the end zone, and he came off the field to the sideline. He didn't play another play in preseason. I kind of feel like that's McCaffrey. Like, you can have, you know, yeah, you got to get banged up a little bit. But I feel like McCaffrey's cutting, his ability to run through contact, and his eyes, like, I don't think he needs a whole lot of work at that. I think he's going to be fresh and ready to go Monday night.
Was he built to play in the Shanahan system in terms of the zone cutting, the receiving out of the backfield. I mean, I don't see what the flaw is in his game. He's a great pass protector as well. I mean, he's an outstanding player. It just feels like he was made by, you know, by Skynet. Like, if this were the Terminator, like, he was made by a computer to play in the Shanahan offense.
Well, there's a reason why they traded for him. He gave up a lot to get him, Joe. Even after he had two injury-marred seasons in Carolina. Like, I think Kyle looked at him going, this is the ultimate back in my offense. The ability to catch it like he can. The ability to run routes like he does. The ability to hit home runs when he gets to the open field like he has done. Like, it's been an amazing run. I mean, he came out of a draft in running backs. Like, he's... like Aaron Jones is still there, and you know, but a lot of these guys like are done, and he's still going. And so, look, he had over 400 touches last year. I don't know how many guys can survive that. LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, had 8 straight seasons of 400 plus touches. Nobody will ever do that again.
8?
But that's the challenge. And you watch him work out and train. Outside of that week for the wedding and whatever honeymoon he had, like, all he does is build his body up to prepare for the season.
I think people forget how good LaDainian Tomlinson was.
8 just absurd, straight 400? I couldn't believe LT. That.
Absurd numbers, man. He was so good for so long. Baldy, going back to Brandon Ayuk, who just signed a 4-year, $120 million deal with the $76 million guaranteed. Obviously, Sauce Gardner may shadow him in the pass game. But, John, I want to go back to your video that you broke down in the Super Bowl, because I think people underrated Brandon Ayuk and his... you know, his ability within this offense, one-on-one coverage, seems like he always gets open. He run blocks. Teams bracket him. I think a lot of people are confused saying, well, yeah, I don't know if he gets doubled or whatnot. What makes Brandon Ayuk the player that he is and why he's worth the money that he is?
Well, I think, first of all, Steve Spagnuolo in that Super Bowl is like, okay, here's the 49ers' number one option. On almost every formation it's set. So, like, they made sure that they were giving him extra attention. And it opened things up for Juwan. It opened things up, you know, for, you know, Debo to have some catches. And for Kittle. Like, they were determined. Because if you just think about, you know, the 49ers championship game against Detroit. Like, he was the spark to the whole comeback. Down 17 points in the third quarter. Making a circus catch down the field. Like, Kansas City said, if somebody's going to beat us, and we're going to get beat, it's not going to be Ayuk. And when he get one-on-ones against, you know, Justin Reed or whoever, like, he won because he's a great route runner. And I showed you that final play there in the end zone. And, you know, there was a great corner, L'Jarius Sneed, like, on all fours, crabbing, trying to stay on his feet. The good coordinators in this league know how to give receivers attention to make sure that they're squeezed, bracketed, underneath, over the top, no matter where they go. And so... that's how the offense works. Like, he's their number one guy, and that's why they had to get the deal done.
Who are you most excited to see on the 49ers this year? One of the established players, maybe an up-and-comer. Who's the guy that you're looking at and you're like, man, I wonder what he's going to do this year?
Well, I think Jair Brown, Tig, is going to be a great player. Like, that guy was a ball machine at Penn State. I've talked to the head coach there in Penn State about him. He got a chance to play with Hufanga's injury. Like, they've, you know, they let Jimmy Ward go because I feel like they think they got themselves a great safety to go for a long time. I think that's one guy that I'm really excited about. I'm very excited about Dominic Pooney.
I knew you were going to say
that. I think you need
that.
Dominant run blockers up front in this system, especially, like, we know what Trent can do. Like, the more just earth movers you have up front, the easier things get for this whole offense. And I think this kid, like, I understand there was injuries to other guys at that position as he got a chance, but he took advantage of the chance. Like, he might have growing pains against if Quinnen goes over there on Monday night a little bit because he's an elite player. But he looks like he's ready to handle his business up front.
Baldy, we played the sound of Peter Schrager on NFL Network, your colleague over there, and he said that, you know, basically Shanahan has the most riding on this season. I don't think Peter means it, and I don't think Shanahan's on some hot seat. Hell, the seat's not even warm. He's got a nice little recliner with his feet kicked up. He could be the head coach for the 49ers for a very long time when you consider his record 54-29 in the regular season over the last 5 years and 8-4 in the playoffs. But on this team, with all these great players and the great ownership and this great fan base, is it Shanahan who has the most riding on this season, Baldy?
What, if any other coach?
Any other coach, any other player, anybody. It's hard for me to agree with that.
The seat's hot in Dallas, I mean, for sure, just because of the history of that organization and all that. I mean, it's hot in Philadelphia. It's hot in places where expectations are high. The only reason why it would be considered hot is because of the roster that he has, and he can fully run his offense. He's got everything he needs to run his offense at the highest level. So there's great expectations. And really the expectations are what Andy Reid has been delivering in Kansas City. It's just, I mean, if Andy Reid doesn't win a Super Bowl, nobody's like batting an eye. They're like,
right,
they're going to be competitive. But it's just because of the roster. And they've gotten so close on a couple of occasions, including when he was a coordinator in Atlanta. They've been so close. And the fact is that you have to break through as either a quarterback or a coach to have greatness associated with you. And once you do that, they can never take it away. It always goes side by side with what you do. You know, as soon as you win it, the pressure gets right back on you to repeat. And that's just, and some teams can deliver like Kansas City did. Some teams fall along the wayside. But this is a talented roster. Everybody knows it. And it's up to Kyle to guide it right now.
Baldy, we had some unfortunate news Saturday with Ricky Pearsall. Thankfully, he's okay. He's been released from the hospital. He's going to miss at least the first four games of the season, the rookie out of Florida. How can this impact the locker room? Positively, negatively? You know, how do players receive that type of news, man, when the teammate like that gets shot? It's unfortunate, no doubt about it, and we're just thankful that he's okay. But how's this locker room going to rally behind Ricky Pearsall? Have you been in any situation like that?
I've had guys that, you know, had car accidents, missed time. Like, good teams, and the 49ers will do this, they rally around those players. And the thing that happened to him could happen to anybody, you know. And so it wasn't like it's 3 o'clock in the morning and he's in a place he shouldn't be. It's none of that. It could happen to anybody. And so he just happened to be an innocent guy. I've heard all the arguments, just give up the watch, all that. Well, nobody knows how you're going to react in any of those, because I still don't exactly know how it all went down. I'm not trying to piece this thing together. Mm-hmm. I don't want to investigate it. I feel bad for Ricky because he's missed so much time already.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the bad part to him is it looked like he was just getting back on the field and getting healthy, and now you have to deal with this. And so I feel like his rookie season is slipping away. And it's too bad because he's a very talented player. The 49ers, they don't screw up these first-round picks. Like, they know what they're doing. This kid is a talented player. Like, I don't know when he's going to get on the field now and when you can count on him. But still, he's just missing more and more time. But how can it impact the locker room, Monte? I just think it just raises the awareness on everybody in the locker room, yeah, that you have to be cognizant of where you're at, mm-hmm, at all times. And it's not just San Francisco. This could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's better if you're just sitting on the couch on Saturday afternoons watching, yeah, you know, some of these great college games, maybe.
Oh, Cam Ward.
So many great college games. There's so many young quarterbacks I'm watching.
Yep.
And we'll get to that in 1 second. You said you got the Jets winning the AFC. These are all predictions. We know. And two-parter here, okay? One, I want your boldest NFL prediction for this year, okay? It might not come true, probably won't, but I want the boldest. And the second one, what would it mean for the league if the Jets, who have the longest drought in North American sports for making the playoffs.
I can't believe that.
What would it mean if they won the division, went to the playoffs? Because I was telling Bonte, like, I think it would be cool. You know, I'm not some Jets fan by any means, but it is cool to see old man Rodgers and that team make the playoffs. I want those fans. I'm taking my buddy Jamie to the game. It's his first ever game at Levi's. He's a diehard Jets fan. Like,
why
I don't want to see my
Jets
boy.
Fan?
What?
Why are you going to the game with a Jets fan?
Because I don't want to see my boy miserable. Right. I want to see him have a little bit of fun.
Oh, this guy's
the
different,
Jets are
man.
The Jets, I don't care.
I want like, no I think be cool. gay green around me.
No, I think it would be cool.
Well, there's a couple things to the question, Jim.
Yeah.
I was a celebrity bartender the night the Red Sox won their first World Series.
Oh, man.
And Red
Sam
Sox
Malone
fans
Baldy?
In the bar started crying. Literally crying. Tears of joy. We remember when the Cubs broke through.
Yeah.
And they won. And, you know, you think like the curse and all this stuff, the curse of the Babe with Boston, all that stuff, it breaks. Like, the Jets, I feel like, I grew up in Long Island. I was a Jet fan. Yeah. You know, you hitchhike down to Hofstra University when you're 17 years old to go watch, practice. Go watch the sack exchange, beat each other up. I feel like 50-odd years of just pure misery for Jet fans. Like, I feel like everybody has something in their life that they can relate to that for. And then look, Aaron Rodgers' greatness gets cemented. It's somewhat in doubt right now, even despite what our eyes tell us and the one Super Bowl. He wins another Super Bowl. Now, like, he's a shoo-in. And now, as soon as the confetti falls, if that would happen, are you coming back? Like, that's the first question. Are you coming back to repeat? Like, how do you feel? So, like, all those things, like, happen. Joe Douglas is a great talent evaluator, the general manager. I've known Joe since he was a little area scout an area scout with the Ravens. Like, that guy has won a Super Bowl with Baltimore, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Like, his greatness gets cemented as a general manager. A lot of things break through if that can happen.
Wow. Growing up in Jets.
And it's great for ratings.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Ratings drive everything that me and you and we're doing right now. The ratings.
No doubt.
And you watch them. If they're in the playoff hunt in December, the Jets will be somehow, there'll be a national TV game every week all the way into the playoffs.
Well, we're just kind of discussing this where I feel like maybe they're the AFC Dallas Cowboys, where the Cowboys get all these headlines and they're the top talking point on all these debate shows all over NFL Network, all over ESPN. And the same thing with the Jets for many, many years. And the Jets haven't done a damn thing. And yet we see or hear about the Jets every single
year. The Cowboys make the playoffs,
right,
though.
Yeah, they at least make the playoffs. Yeah, I hear you. I hear it. But the Jets are always, if there's one team that gets all the headlines, it's the Cowboys. Next on that list, you can make an argument it's the New York Jets, Baldy.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a reason why. There's one game on Monday night, and it's the final game of week one, and it's against the 49ers, and it happens to be the Jets. Like, ESPN wants every eyeball that's a football fan to tune into this game. Like, these schedule makers are smart. They know exactly what they're doing. And so there's a reason, the last couple of years now, maybe you know exactly, we've always had two games on the opening Monday night game of the year. This year, they're like, we don't want any other game to dilute this game. We want every eyeball on Aaron Rodgers, Kyle Shanahan, Robert Saleh. Look, we want the star players, Sauce Gardner and Breece and the whole group. We want cameras on all these guys.
My dad used to say Joe Willie Namath, like, wasn't the greatest quarterback ever, but what he did pushed the game forward and united, AFC, AFL, NFL, and the prediction and the way it went down and beating that Colts team and everything. We don't understand it now, but as a historian of the NFL, it was like a Larian magic kind of a thing where it kind of saved the league and united the league and put them at the forefront. And like, Joe Willie Namath is that guy because of that, right? I mean, Baldy, am I off?
No, the AFC broke through. They hadn't won a Super Bowl. It was the third Super Bowl. Green Bay had dominated to that point, and AFC teams hadn't done that. He basically gave legitimacy to the whole AFC. Buffalo was good with Jack Kemp, and you go through all the team, John Hadle, and what they were doing with the Raiders. He broke through. I mean, he was the guy that did it, and so it was a big deal when that happened, and it was a big deal in the history of this business. You can't talk about the history of the NFL. We're in our 105th year right now, and not talk about Joe Willie Namath at Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, via the University of Alabama, and Bear Bryant, and not talk about the history of not mentioning that player in that game.
Always wondered if you would have just decided to go to the St. Louis Cardinals or something. If he would have just said, screw the AFL.
Well, he never would have been Broadway Joe.
No doubt. I know.
With the mink coat, the hair, the ads, the commercials.
The bar that he had.
He was the club/bar.
Unbelievable.
Well, when you see all these commercials that Peyton have and Patrick Mahomes have and all that, it started with Joe.
Yeah.
Like, Joe is the one that started, whether it was Noxema, shaving cream, whatever. Joe started. He was the original, to me. Now, I didn't know many of the guys before, but he was the original pitch man. We saw him on all those commercials back in the day. And, the cameos and the things with Farrah Fawcett and all those things were, that stuff is like folklore, but it's real.
No doubt. When are you flying out to Brazil, Baldy?
Let's see. I'm flying out in 8 hours right now on tape. Yeah. One of these hours, the next 8 hours, I'll start to pack.
Eagles, Packers. A lot of hype on the Packers. I know we got to run here, but we're watching them because the Packers are ascending with Jordan Love and the big fat contract. Then you got Philadelphia on the other side to add Saquon Barkley. And I was just in Philadelphia. And Eagle fans are telling me, oh, man, we're worried about the Niners. I'm telling them, well, I'm worried about you guys. You guys have Saquon Barkley. I feel like there's a sleeping giant in the league this year. It could be those Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I mean, they probably are only because of the way they finished. I mean, this is a team that started off 8-0 2 years ago, started off 10-0 last year, was in the Super Bowl, been in the playoffs every year under Nick Sirianni. Like it, and they I think they severely upgraded the coordinators and the talent. Howie Roseman's done a phenomenal job in Philadelphia. It's a very talented roster. It's up to, you know, Jalen Hurts to make this thing start humming the way we see Brock Purdy doing it in San Francisco.
I can't wait, Baldy. Safe travels out there to Brazil. We'll be following your work. We'll talk to you next Tuesday after the Niners take on the New York Jets, man. Football, it's back. It was back last weekend with all the great college games, but now we get the big boys in the saddle. The NFL is back, baby.
All right, Sam. See you guys.
See ya. See ya, Baldy. Love you,
bud. I thought we were going to go straight to the injury report right there. My bad.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Oh, man. NFL's back, baby. NFL is back. That was Baldy right there. Ricky Pearsall on the reserve non-football injury list, meaning he'll miss at least the first four games of the season, as he was placed on the list after suffering a gunshot wound over the weekend in Union Square, but was fortunate enough to avoid any life-threatening injuries. Despite the scary situation, Pearsall is expected to make a full recovery. Our prayers go out to Pearsall and his family. Scary, scary situation, but he is okay. He's out of the hospital, and hopefully he'll get back on the field sooner rather than later. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your phone call's coming up. Does Shanahan have the most riding on this season? We'll get to all that stuff. Big Trent's back. Chris McCaffrey's back. Ayuk signed. Niners are full squad, baby. Let's go.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.